Congress has argued for nearly two decades over whether America's energy needs justify drilling for oil within the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The debate has waged on, unresolved, through gasoline price hikes, the Exxon Valdez oil spill, the Persian Gulf War, and several administrations. In the coming weeks, as Congress takes up the budget bill, the refuge, often called by its initials, ANWR, will once again be at center stage. And as NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports, never have pro-development forces been better positioned to win.
Just once in 1995 did a measure pass Congress that would have opened the 1.5 million-acre coastal plain of the refuge to oil exploration and development. It passed as a budget rider, not as a standalone measure, and was vetoed by then-President Bill Clinton. That's just the strategy that Arctic Power, the primary lobbying force for development, hopes will be successful this time. Roger Herrera is executive director.
It can be done through the budget bill because it was done then. The difference now is we have a president who's willing to sign the finished product. That doesn't mean to say, though, that it will be an easy or straightforward process. I think it's fraught with political problems, but it's certainly the art of the possible this year.
Herrera is no newcomer to the issue. A former vice president of British Petroleum, he's been working to open up the refuge for 20 years. He waves off criticism that the only way to get it through Congress is to stick it in a bill loaded up with pork, but that's how opponents characterize the move.
It's a reflection, really, to some degree, of their desperation.
Greg Whetstone is an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
It's an open concession that they can't pass it on the merits. They can't pass it in a direct vote, and it's a way to circumvent, you know, some of the basic safeguards of democracy. But fortunately, enough members from both sides of the aisle have stood up already and said no, that it's clear they're going to have very tough sledding, even operating through the budget process.
Six Republican senators, led by Maine's Olympia Snow, sent a letter to the GOP leadership protesting the budget rider. Snow says their opposition is to both the policy and the procedure.
Opening up the refuge to drilling raises a host of policy concerns with serious environmental ramifications, and I believe that it deserves careful and deliberate debate instead of injecting it into a truncated budget process.
At least five other Republicans agree. Snow points out that in recent years, the measure has never been brought to the floor for a straight up or down vote. But this is just the latest chapter in a long historical fight over access to oil in the Arctic, what could be a major find or a complete bust, and a patch of tundra that just happens to be the calving ground for a migratory herd of 100,000 caribou. For years, statistics and emotion, scientific studies, and the personal stories of Alaska Natives have been used to argue both for and against. The money spent to open up the refuge or to keep it shut is staggering. Just over the last 2 years, the oil industry alone has funneled more than $40 million to the effort. The state of Alaska spends more than $1 million a year of its own budget. Environmentalists have made it the centerpiece of many a fundraising campaign. Hundreds of senators and House members have been flown to the spot in the dead of the winter by the oil industry to see just how desolate a place it really is, just as hundreds of journalists have been flown to the spot by environmentalists in early summer to see just how unique and fragile a wilderness it really is. Over the years, the arguments and the rhetoric haven't changed, but oil industry interest has. This past year, in a public relations blow to proponents, British Petroleum, a major player, pulled out. The multinational stopped all contributions and involvement with Arctic Power and declared the issue between policymakers and the public. Spokesman Darren Boudot says the company decided to focus on real prospects instead.
Close the door to the future of ANWR. We maintain our leases there. If ANWR were to be opened up, we would look at it through the same business and commercial lens that we view all of our investments. It's got to compete against global capital.
That means compete against places where exploration and development is more likely, like the Gulf of Mexico, Azerbaijan, and Angola. Those who wish to keep the refuge off limits to drilling see BP's waning interest as a hopeful sign, but the administration is hopeful as well. This year's budget proposal already assumes revenue from the sale of oil leases in the refuge. NRDC's Whetstone is cautiously confident that proponents will not prevail in the upcoming budget vote.
But we may continue to have another fight and another and another, and unfortunately, we have only to lose once, and the area is lost.
Arctic Power's Herrera knows that only too well and is confident, despite public opinion, that at some point need will outweigh the emotion.
It has taken on a symbolic life of its own. I mean, it's almost become a religious issue. However, I mean, emotion is tempered when people can't afford to fill their cars up with gasoline or can't afford their heating oil and so on. And all of a sudden, religion sort of cools, I suspect.
Meanwhile, both sides are counting potential votes. If drilling in the refuge is attached to the budget bill as a rider, the Senate needs only a simple majority to pass it. The bill is not subject to filibuster and would most certainly be signed by this president. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.